Welcome to the IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast for couples who struggle with infertility and want to fulfill their dreams of becoming parents. In this podcast, you'll learn actionable strategies to deal with infertility from Dr. Michael Chapman, or Prof as he's affectionately known. Prof is the co-founder of IVF Australia and is a leading Australian infertility specialist who has helped over 3,000 couples realise their dreams of becoming parents. To access previous episodes packed with ideas, solutions and tips that actually work, head over to Dr. Chapman's IVF podcast on iTunes. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him, michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.
That first cry of a baby born after the long journey of IVF remains one of the most beautiful experiences in the world. As an obstetrician and an IVF specialist, I've had the privilege of experiencing this over many thousands of times in my long career, but I still remain moved by each baby's first cry. It signifies the end of a long journey and the beginning of a new life. This is Professor Michael Chapman, co-founder of IVF Australia and host of the IVF Journey podcast. Thanks for tuning in. To access all the previous episodes, head over to my website, www.theivfjourney.com, and select IVF Journey Podcast from the navigation menu. You'll also be able to find the various services that we provide at IVF Australia. One of the joys of being involved in reproductive technology over the last 30 years has been the attendance at international meetings. Because every year, something new comes to light. Every year, we share information between clinics from around the world. There are two major conferences in the world. One is the American Society, that's the ASRM, the American Society of Reproductive Medicine. And the other is the European Society for Embryology and Human Reproduction. I recently returned from the ESHRE meeting, which was held in Geneva in July. Once again, it was fantastic to catch up with my colleagues from around the world, find out what they've been doing recently, be reassured that what we're doing in Australia is up to date, and share with them some of our findings and our advances. There were 10,500 people at the meeting. I was at that first meeting 30 years ago. Indeed, at that meeting, the foundation of the society occurred, and so I'm one of the founding members. My membership number is 273. There are now over 20,000 members. The highlights of the meeting focused a lot on the genetics of embryos. With the advancing technology of genetic diagnosis, with machinery and techniques that have dramatically changed the capacity to look at the individual genes on the individual chromosomes, we are now able to select embryos that are normally configured from a chromosome perspective. We know now, through that research, that the vast majority of embryos put back and not succeed in producing a pregnancy are due to that embryo being genetically abnormal. So even a beautiful-looking blastocyst in a 38-year-old has more than a 50% chance of carrying a fatal genetic abnormality, which will prevent implantation, will cause miscarriage, and certainly not produce a pregnancy. By excluding those abnormal embryos, we improve pregnancy rates. So data was being presented indicating success rates of 60%+ per single embryo transfer if you put back a euploid embryo. Sadly, it's not 100%, and so the focus now is that putting back a euploid embryo and not getting pregnant, what is it then that's causing the problem? In that environment, we're going to be able to work much more cleverly in defining those previously undefinable causes. The other area of interest in one session that I attended was about the number of eggs that we produce in an IVF cycle and the chances of success. About 4 or 5 years ago, a UK study looking at 144,000 women and looking at their chances of success with the first embryo transfer indicated that once you got past around 15 or 16 eggs, pregnancy rates per transfer fell. So the optimum was somewhere between 8 and 14. Not much difference between those numbers. So that to some extent is what we've all been aiming at in terms of stimulation that produces what was thought to be the optimum number of eggs. A study from Belgium of 15,000 women looking at the cumulative pregnancy rates from a single cycle showed something different. It showed the more eggs you produce, the more chance you have of ending up with a live birth. What was shown is that once you get over that 15, you then have multiple embryos to transfer on a cycle-by-cycle basis. So while you may get 8 eggs and 1 blastocyst to put back, if you get 15 or 16 eggs, it's highly likely you'll end up with 2 or 3 blastocysts to put back. And of those, 1 or 2 will be genetically normal and you will get a pregnancy. So cumulatively, after you've put 3 embryos back month on month, your pregnancy rate's going to be higher. And that continues increasingly so all the way through to 20, 20 to 25 eggs, 30 eggs. Your ultimate chance of a baby from that one egg collection is highest the more eggs you get. Now, there is a trade-off. As we know, the worst side effect of IVF is ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome. At its worst, it can be fatal. In its severe form, it means hospitalization, intensive care, and potentially stroke with long-term disability. So IVF specialists are terrified of it. It occurs when you get large numbers of eggs, in excess of 15. So there is a trade-off between cumulative pregnancy rates and safety. But again, modern technology, modern thoughts, modern application of research has reduced the chances of OHSS to almost zero, even with 30 eggs. So now using a different trigger injection, a GnRH agonist, we actually bypass the possibility of OHSS in 99.99% of cases. So we can push harder, we can get a better cumulative pregnancy rate, and we can avoid OHSS. Another study that relates to the same story comes from Christos Vanitis, one of my colleagues here at IVF Australia. He got international media publicity about his paper, where he looked at our data and looked at the chances of a euploid embryo, an embryo with normal chromosomes, and related it to the number of eggs that were collected. And his results fit perfectly with the Belgian study. What he showed was the more eggs you have at the time of egg collection, the higher the chances you have of obtaining euploid embryos. So again, more eggs, more chance of pregnancy, more chance of normal pregnancy. So I think those two studies may well change our approach to stimulation, because our major goal is a pregnancy for you on your IVF journey. And if we can improve the chances of a single cycle giving you that baby that you so want, then that's the direction we'll go. It'll be interesting to watch what happens over the next years. At these meetings, one of the things I enjoy is talking to my colleagues and finding out things that the way they do things in their country that might be different to ours. Almost always, I come away reassured that what we're doing in Australia is at the forefront, that we continue to undertake treatments that are correct, that are safe, and at high success rates. May that continue.
And don't forget that you can access all the previous episodes by going to our website, www.theivfjourney.com, and select IVF Journey Podcast from the navigation menu.
Thank you for listening to the IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast which helps couples negotiate their way through the IVF journey, all the way to parenthood. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.